Blog Talk Radio.
Right, cue of the music, of course, means it's time for the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. Of course, we are sponsored today by Impact Media, where we don't make impressions, we make impact. Hope everybody's having a good Thursday. You know, there's been a lot going on.
Just a ton going on. That's why we've been so busy. We've been all over the place. Been trying to keep up. We actually had some technical difficulties as has been par for the course. Occasionally, we got those fixed. We were back up on the air. But, there was a few days where none of the equipment worked. That's a fun feeling when you're doing media shows when none of the equipment works. You have to call in the experts or just keep tinkering with it till you figure it out. Of course, we figured it out. Got all the stuff we needed. We're back on and ready to go. Like I said, just super tons to talk about. Of course, we'll talk some Steelers, Jets, Eagles, Dolphins. We'll talk Hall of Famers. We'll hit the other side of the coast with San Diego. We'll be playing here in a few minutes on NFL Network. The kickoff game, pretty much. Packers and the Patriots here in a minute. I hear Tom Brady's not playing, but I just saw him in warm-ups, so I guess we'll have to wait and see on that one. We got some Redskins. I mean, there's almost something going on with every single team. And then, of course, in Falcon Zone, we'll jump into some running back news, some news and notes, and try to get you prepared for that game tomorrow night, which I know I'll be at for sure. I will have to check and see if Coach and Reggie may be there. I believe Coach is out of town, so probably not, but good chance Mr. Reggie Walker may be there. But we'll have to ask him, hopefully here shortly, if he's able to join us. Once again, like I said, thanks for joining us here on Blog Talk Radio. We appreciate how Blog Talk Radio has been with us almost since the start of really launching the live podcast, and it's been fun riding with them, and we're not going anywhere anytime soon. We like the way they're growing. They like the way we're growing. We're going to continue to make magic together. But I am Jeremy the Impact York, as I don't know if I mentioned or not, but either way, welcome to the show. And without further ado, I'm just going to jump into some of these stories real quick. We'll go through as many of them as we can, as time allows. We get out of here early. Hey, we get out early. We'll try to keep it where you're not running into the game, which will be starting, I believe, 7:30, 8 o'clock-ish. We may be bleeding into it a little bit, but it's okay. You can listen to us and watch that. And, of course, if you do want to follow us, you can follow us on Twitter, at Team Impact Media, at the Impact 99 if you're looking for me. On Facebook, we are Impact Media. You can find us or through my Facebook page as well, Jeremy York. Reggie and Coach are on there as well, along with some of our other people. We've got some fun stuff coming up in the next couple weeks. But we definitely look forward to getting some of those going. Of course, if you do want to email the show, it is 3endzone@gmail.com. Maybe here soon we'll set up a show page on CyberDust, which is Mark Cuban's social media app. It's pretty cool. I've been checking it out the last couple of weeks. If you want, you can add us on there as well, or you can add me, and for some exclusive fun content. We're on Instagram, too. The Impact 99, you'll find me, which I post a lot of show stuff on there. But that's all the ways you can find us. And without further ado, we're going to jump right into... the first story. First story is the Steelers had to go out and find a new kicker because Sean Sweezum tore his ACL in the Hall of Fame game trying to make a tackle. Well, not trying. He made the tackle. He's just that kind of guy. Before I even get into who they picked, now I get to say this fun thing. If I'm Mike Tomlin, I'm checking on Sweezum. When you find out that he is hurt, I'm going to find the other 10 guys on the field and ask them why my kicker had to make the play. I know things happen all the time. I know it's preseason, but this could actually impact how many games they win this year. And there's no knock on anything, but Sweezum is probably a top five kicker in the league. He doesn't miss many kicks. And he plays balls out like this. I mean, there's just no better way to say it. I wish there was a better political, correct way to say it, but he gives it everything he's got, clearly. He made a good tackle on this play, too, but I saw his leg buckle, and I was hoping it wasn't what it looked like, but it turns out it was. But like I said, this could impact the Pittsburgh year. And we're almost putting the finishing touches on we're putting the finishing touches on the schematics or topic outlines or whatever you want to call them. We are going to do a team-by-team preview. I'm going to have some various guests join me for certain ones. Certain ones will just be me, of course. And we're going to go team-by-team, give you guys a preview. We're going to talk about key players. We're going to talk about key games, the top five key issues that the team has, whether they be good or bad, the top five things really going on with them. And then, of course, the projected records. And, I'm giving everybody a fair shake here. In no way am I biased towards one or the other. But we got a bunch of those ready to go and nailed out. We hope to record those pretty soon and get those up for you guys. So whoever your favorite team is, you can check it out and see what we think. See if you like it. If you don't, you can always contact us, let us know. But back to the Sweezum thing. They ended up signing former New Orleans kicker Garrett Hartley. It was pretty solid. He's a nothing personal, but there's a reason why he's on the, he was not on a roster. People go through kickers pretty quickly. Usually when you find a top seven, top eight kicker in the league, you hang on to him for a while. Garrett Hartley will do pretty well, but, not having Sweezum, it could impact one or two different games that would have been wins may swap to losses. Now, of course, Garrett Hartley is going to do his best here and, God willing, all his kicks will be 30 or 40 yards anyway, but there's a chance he'll have to kick these long ones, and I hope that his accuracy is where it needs to be, where it was back when he was in New Orleans, so that he can continue to put some points on the board for him. But Steeler fans, just you're going to be okay. You're still going to be can't remember where I have you in the division. I'll have to look at my notes on that one, or you guys can listen to the podcast coming up pretty soon. But I wouldn't worry about it all that much. It's still preseason, and they could even sign another kicker on top of that, run a double kicker system. Who knows? But I think Garrett Hartley can at least carry the load for as much that needs to be carried. I think he'll be okay. Next thing out of the gate, and I have to say this because not only is my wife and her family Catholic, but this is sports in general, and this is the conversations that I've had at different churches and other places sometimes about how important sports is to some people. There is thousands of Eagles fans, I believe it was up to 4,000 or 5,000 or something last I heard, that have started a online petition to get Pope Francis to bless quarterback Sam Bradford's knees. Why not, right? I mean, at this point, might as well make sure that Sam Bradford's knees are going to hold up. And when they asked Sam about it, he seemed to be on board with it. He probably could use any thoughts and prayers that he could get that they hold up. I mean, because his injury, he tore the same ACL twice. That's almost impossible to do. It's obviously possible, but and not sure why we're getting random guitar riffs, maybe bleeding over from the studio next to us here, but either way, you know, maybe this is something different. Getting Sam Bradford's knees blessed by the Pope. Why not? If you're going to do that, though, then I think there's a lot of fans out in Colorado that are going to want a certain quarterback's neck to be blessed next, and I, for one, can't blame you there. Maybe that's why Adrian Peterson rebounded the way he did after tearing his knee. Who knows? Next thing I want to talk about, former Dolphins offensive line coach Jim Turner. Yes, that Jim Turner that was mentioned in the Incognito Martin bullying case, scandal, whatever you want to call it. He's filed a lawsuit against Ted Wells. It's a defamation of character, I believe. I think he believes that the Wells report painted him out to be a different type of person than he actually is. Which could be true. I'm not saying it's not, and, you know, in this country, you're free to sue whoever you want to. Ted Wells has recently come under some scrutiny because of the Wells report, the way the Deflate case, Deflategate case is kind of panning out. But what it seems like to me is Ted Wells does a very, very thorough job, and then the NFL gets a hold of it and finds what they want out of it and kind of moves with it that way. If that's what they do, then it is what it is. And unless there's some way for you to do something about that, we just have to kind of accept it. But as far as him, for the defamation, I've talked to a few lawyer friends of mine and of the show and asked them about such a thing. And they said, even though they don't know all the specifics, for the most part, it's going to be an interesting case. And Jim Turner has a right to try to do that to save face, because there's a reason why he's a former offensive line coach and not a current. Maybe he's trying to get back in the league or just get back into coaching. But I don't think Ted Wells is a bad guy. I guess that's what I'm trying to say here. Ted Wells is not necessarily the bad guy. I think he was doing his job. He did his due diligence on all the stuff. Good luck to Jim and Ted and how that plays out. More than likely, it'll be some sort of settlement, which I don't know if that's what Jim is after. I think he's more after restoring his name. But, you know, we'll have to get into that once it starts to play out. And looks like Reggie Walker. It would be nice if Reggie Miller called in. But Mr. Reggie Walker will be joining us in about 15 minutes. Or so. And while we're talking about offensive line coaches, the Bills have suspended offensive line coach Aaron Cromer without pay for the first 6 games of the 2015 regular season. Now, before you go, wow, that's a third of the season. Yes, that's a third of the regular season. Coaches are not players. If I understood this correctly, see, the players are paid, their salary is based off of playing, you know, the 16 games. Technically, like playing for free in the playoffs, but there's bonuses and stuff like that. So, being a coach as opposed to a player, he is on a yearly salary. So, missing 6 weeks out of 52, I think Mr. Cromer's going to be okay. But, of course, he's being suspended because there was some sort of altercation at a beach or something like that, which Mr. Cromer decided to punch a minor, I believe. I don't remember if it had to do with a lawn chair or something. Either way, it got heated, and he punched this minor, I believe, and that's ultimately what got him suspended the first six games. Now, it will be interesting because the Bills' offensive line got retooled a little bit over the break, over the offseason, of course, and we'll have to see how good they play. Now they won't have their position coach for the first six games. Houston running back Arian Foster hurt his groin the other day. Looks like he is headed for surgery. He was going to be a wait and see project right now anyway this year. They were going to see how it panned out as to what his future in Houston could be. It could now be he may not play for him anymore. Good runner, but it's going to be hard to come back from something like this. He should be able to do it. We'll have to see. I really don't know who's going to take over for him because their running back depth chart, if I can get that in front of me real quick. And I apologize for not having it in front of me. Here we go. Look at the running back. Alfred Blue more than likely will be the one to take over. They do have Jonathan Grimes and Kenny Hilliard and Chris Polk, so it'll be probably a by committee for the rest of the year, but Houston could have probably really used that breakout runner. Not saying one of these guys couldn't easily do it, but it looks like it's going to be by committee. You know, no harm, no foul there, I guess, as far as the committee could ultimately do just as good as Arian Foster might have. But that's just another injury, and it's just that time of year for those kind of injuries. I do want to get into some other injuries real quick. The Redskins, who have a lot of problems, actually just did the notes for the team breakdown preview just last night, so... Yeah, that's going to be a fun one to get into. Even if you're not a Redskins fan, you probably want to tune into that one because I'm probably either going to ruffle some feathers or get some fun emails, one way or the other. But their wide receiver, DeSean Jackson, separated his shoulder in practice. He's going to be out for the foreseeable future. He really needed a good bounce back, and no matter who the quarterback's going to be for them, whichever, you know, C-level perennial backup that they end up going with as a starter, I would imagine Robert Griffin III, he could have used DeSean Jackson and would have made him look a little better. And then, of course, cornerback D'Angelo Hall hurt his groin. And I feel like he hurt his groin. I believe it was when they were scrimmaging against the Texans. It's weird how all these guys get hurt. But besides the fight that the two teams had, which was just, just unprofessional. But we're going to hear that word here in a minute, and it's going to be a lot worse than just two teams skirmishing three separate times on back-to-back-to-back plays. But I wanted to get into these guys being hurt. It's not going to affect the Redskins' season so much because I feel like they're going to get a top three pick next year. I think they have enough issues that are going to keep them on the lower part of the wins and loss column. And it could ultimately cost Jay Gruden his job, which is a shame. But there's going to be a couple jobs open that I think Jay will easily be a top pick for. So, you know, not worried about you, Jay. You're going to bounce back. But as far as DeSean Jackson, I hope the separated shoulder. The thing about your shoulder, and this is what makes this injury so important, when you separate your shoulder, then it becomes, it's like knocking it out of socket. It's becomes perennially easier for it to happen again and again and again and again. It's like breaking the seal on something. Once you break the seal, it's a lot easier for it to keep coming out. So I hope he doesn't need surgery or anything other than just let it heal. Hope he can get back on the field. He needs a good showing. And then as far as D'Angelo Hall, you can't be a shutdown corner if you can't run. And a groin will easily prohibit you from doing that. Let's see. Next on the block. I guess we could start up. Yeah, in between, here we go. We'll keep working on it. We'll keep trying to tweak the show, and we appreciate all you guys' feedback as far as that. But I think in between, when we go from subject to subject, we're going to start doing some sort of thing so that you know. So as we go into the next one. Hadouken! We'll go with that. Rams give quarterback Nick Foles a two-year, $24.5 million extension. And before you get all... before you get all up in arms about Sam Bradford and, oh, the reason they traded him, because, no, the reason they traded Sam Bradford is he's always hurt, never really panned out to what they wanted him to be, and he tore the same ligament in the same knee twice. Not saying that's his fault, just saying I think he's a little injury prone. But regardless, the Rams giving Foles this extension. Now, a lot of people would go, oh, that means he's going to be making $12 million a year. No. That gives the total for this year and the next 2 years. There is a sign-in bonus attached to this, but it doesn't factor into what I'm saying. That makes the next 3 years. I think he's going to be making a total of $25 million, $26 million. Pretty much just means his base salary just went from $2 or $3 million because he was a third-round pick a couple years ago, just like Russell Wilson. This is going to make it to where he is making at least $8 million a year, which is probably about right for where he's at. And he could light this Rams offense and really make it just fantastic. I like him over Sam Bradford any day. Now, if this were college, it'd be different. It's not. You know, adding Nick Foles to this list, and you got Todd Gurley that they drafted. This Rams team could be coming, and could be coming in a hurry. And it just so happens to be a year when Seattle had to pay a few people, so they had to let some people go. The 49ers seem to either lose somebody to free agency, or retirement, or injury, or as many people as the 49ers have lost. I don't know if they're going to have enough people to play by opening day, which is a joke. Of course they will. To all my San Francisco fans that may be listening out there, you know what I mean, though. It's just every time you turn around, San Francisco's got somebody else not on the team for some reason, which we'll get into, you know, the latest here soon. But as far as Nick Foles, I didn't understand why Chip Kelly wanted to get rid of him and go with Sam Bradford, who is somebody who is perennially hurt a lot when Nick Foles had one of his best seasons in your system. Now, Jeff Fisher's not dumb. That's why he brought him over. And I'm not saying Chip Kelly is either. Chip Kelly shouldn't take advantage of the situation. And we'll see how that part pans out. But Nick Foles in St. Louis, which could soon to be L.A., but either way, him there I think is actually going to give their offense a boost. They've got some weapons, some people to throw to. You know, you guys have all played at least, you know, once or twice with them in Madden. They're a fun team to be. And coming into this year, like I said, Seattle could be a half step down from where they normally are. Still going to be dominating. You got Arizona. Shout out to Jen Welter for all the stuff she's doing out there with them. But, you know, have to see what happens with their offense. and if their defense could still be as big as it was. The Rams have the best defense between them and Arizona. They could rival Seattle, but it's real close. I still give the nod to Seattle there. So if they can just put some points on the board offensively, they're going to be fine. They're going to do good. But, you know, kudos to the Rams for giving Nick Foles the extension and actually paying him to be the level quarterback that he is. Since we didn't get a chance because of some of the technical difficulties, I did want to update some Jaguar fans on the injury that happened a couple days ago. Wide receiver Marquise Lee strained his hamstring. You know, he kind of had some issues in the past a little bit, but I think he's going to be okay. They're going to give him a couple more weeks, let him get fully healthy, and, you know, I wouldn't worry about it because you have Allen Robinson and tons of other weapons that you can now throw to. Jaguars are going to be fine. And think of it this way, Jaguar fans. It's been, at least 6 weeks since we've heard anything about the Jaguars in London as far as a permanent home. I'm sure he did take a shotgun snap, but like I was saying, Jaguar fans, it's been at least 6 weeks since anybody said anything about the London Jaguars, which obviously would not be their name, but there's been no news of a permanent team in London. The permanent team should be in L.A., so, and it's not going to be Jacksonville. Be happy in that fact. Be happy in the fact that your owner is standing behind the team and the city, and they're not going to be moving. We are going to take a short break, and when we get back, we'll get into some of the bigger, juicier stories. But we'll see you on the other side of the break, right here on Impact Media.
Jeremy the Impact York here from Mellow Mushroom. Are you looking for a great family-friendly restaurant with food that is great and healthy? Drop by the Mellow Mushroom. They use the freshest ingredients to make everything on their amazing menu. Pizzas, calzones, salads, and more, plus daily drink specials. Go to mellowmushroom.com to find the location nearest you.
And we're back here on the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks to Impact Media, who has sponsored our show for the day. They allow us to do awesome things, and we appreciate it. We appreciate you guys. But now I want to answer some of the questions you guys have sent in. And I got to say, you guys should really put your names on these things so that I can give you a shout-out on the show. But until then, we'll start right here. First question is, what kind of impact, I like that word, what kind of impact will T.Y. Hilton's contract have on the Colts in the future? Good question. T.Y. Hilton recently signed a 5-year extension with the Colts for $65 million. You know, that, to me, that puts him, he's trying to get up there in the Dez Bryant type money. And unfortunately, T.Y., you are not in that category. You may be in a second tier, though. I mean, you know, there's a good chance. Good chance you'd be on the second tier. But what does this do? It ties up a little bit of money. The Andrew Luck contract, which will be coming in the next, I think it'll be in the next 3 weeks. But, you know, if it's not till after Super Bowl or so, you know, then it is what it is. But between those two contracts, it could limit them to keeping people around, maybe trying to build the run game a little better. I know they brought in Frank Gore, but Frank Gore is not a spring chicken. So at some point you're going to have to replace some of the people there, keep this offensive line together. There's other places you need to put the money. I'm not sure why T.Y. got the 5-year, $65 million. Good for him and his agent. But to answer your question, they're going to be in an okay spot for the foreseeable future. You know, it's not going to tie up too much money, even with Andrew Luck's contract coming up. But they are going to have to be pretty careful on who they consider the core key pieces and, you know, continue this run the way they have it. They are gonna possibly compete for a trophy this year. So, you know, you want to keep as many of those guys, you know, as much as possible. Next question we have is, there it is. If Tom Brady has to miss any games this season, can Jimmy Garoppolo fill in? Well, yeah, that's a good question. I think we're going to find out here in a handful of minutes. Hopefully you're still listening to us. If not, that's fine. You can catch the iTunes Store or Facebook, Twitter. You can always catch the rest of this. But here in a few minutes, Tom Brady's not playing tonight in the Packers-Patriots game, even though I saw him in the warm-ups. Garoppolo is going to be playing, and if I'm not mistaken, he's going to start, and so he'll be with the ones. He may stay in with some of the twos. We're going to get to see what Jimmy Garoppolo can actually do. Now, this is preseason, which means the Packers and Clay Matthews and DJ Raji are not going to be looking to take somebody out like normal, but, you know, we'll get to see a lot of the schemes and get to see what Jimmy G wants to do here. From everything I've heard and what little bit of tape I've seen, I think the kid's pretty good. He could possibly start on a couple of other teams in the league, but he's going to be the guy, he's the heir apparent to Brady. So when Brady leaves, or when Brady is done, whichever it is, Garoppolo will take over the reins. But a good question there. Next question. Oh, this is from a Jaguar fan, and I know because they're the only people that like to take shots at Blaine Gabbert. What is Blaine Gabbert up to? Is he still on the other coast? He is still on the other coast. And I actually know who I think said that, but I will not say your name because if you put your name on it, you probably don't want your name on it. But, yes, he is still a San Francisco 49er. He is the backup to Colin Kaepernick. Jim Tomsula actually likes Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert's a good guy. We all met him. He's a real nice kid. It just didn't pan out. He couldn't handle the pressure early on. I think he got rushed into the games for Jacksonville. It just didn't pan out. But I believe Jim Tomsula, who is the new head coach out in San Francisco, has actually been quoted as saying that Gabbert is a beautiful piece on the 49ers roster. Maybe he sees something, or maybe, you know, Gabbert's got some legs under him now and can turn around a little bit. I do think that that team, is the 49ers, will move on from Colin Kaepernick in the next year or so. If they are not very good this year, which a lot of people think they won't be, I think it will be sooner rather than later. Kaepernick would easily be some good trade bait towards a lot of other teams. I can think of at least five right now that could use a quarterback that would probably trade probably upwards into a third or second round pick next year just for his services. Can't say I blame him. It would help a lot of the teams. I think we can get to one last question or so. And that would be, oh, here we go. We'll go with this one to be the last one. And oh, you actually put your name on this one, but you didn't put anything else from it. This one was from Steve, and Steve says, I know these preseason games aren't supposed to mean anything, but what should I watch for? Great question. I actually asked Mr. Chris Rose from NFL Network that question the other day. That what does he look for? What does he watch for? You know, you look to see how the rookies are going to pan out. You look for schemes. You look for the way, you know, certain matchups. You look to see how the new guys are going to do, but for the most part, this is like a glorified practice. A lot of these are. You're going to get to see a lot of second and third string guys. And update from the game in the first offensive play of the Packers-Patriots game, the Patriots have sacked Aaron Rodgers. Do not adjust your dials. That just happened. So good for them. No, but that's what you watch for. You look at the schemes and the matchups. The Packers have always had interesting plays from their offensive line. So we'll have to see how they gel, and that's the key to keeping Rodgers upright. Now, Rodgers never hit the ground. It was whistled. But either way, pretty much that's what you watch for. Watch for the rookies. Watch for the schemes. If there's a new coach, you know, but past that, it's going to be, you know, business as usual. Unless you're a team like Tampa Bay, you may want to see what Winston brings to the table. You know, Minnesota, you want to see AP back. Those, you know, those kind of things. You want to watch for the small things, the little things, but you got to take everything with you know, a grain of salt. You can't say, oh, we won that game, or oh, we lost that game, or wow. Unless you get blown up in a game, or you have, you know, a supposed shutdown corner or safety who just gets ran over. Yeah, past that, you know, just watch these and be a fan. But we do appreciate all those questions from all you guys. And, of course, also, like I said, Steve, who sent that one in. Appreciate it. And thanks for tagging your name on it. And as we move along right here on Blog Talk Radio with the End Zone Falcons on Super Pro Football Show, I want to get into the second game on tonight, because a lot of you guys know, like I said, Packers-Patriots are playing now. There's actually a second game that starts at 10:30 on the NFL Network that will be the Dallas Cowboys versus the San Diego Chargers. Now, since Dallas practices their practice facility is in Oxnard, California, for who knows what reason. This wasn't that big of a drive for them to go to San Diego to play this game. But that will actually be the 10:30 game. It'd be fun to see those two teams play. But what I was going to bring up is San Diego running back and possible Rookie of the Year candidate. I know it's early, but I really think it's going to be either this guy or Todd Gurley, I believe. I don't know. It could be Mariota or Winston. That's probably the four to look for. But running back Melvin Gordon, his mom came out and said that she will not wear his jersey, his Chargers jersey, until he proves himself. And a lot of people were thinking that was some sort of shot or something like that. Not at all. That's his mom, trying to help keep him motivated and to let him know just because you got drafted doesn't mean you've done anything yet. But, I think it won't be too much longer. It could be the end of tonight's game if he has a big run or something like that she decides to put that on. Can't say I blame her. He's going to be one to watch for sure in San Diego after trying out different running backs for years and having some pretty solid ones. If Melvin Gordon is at least half as big as the hype and half as successful, San Diego's going to finally have a running game again, and then look out for him because Phillip Rivers is still an amazing quarterback. He's got weapons out there. I actually heard a comparison the other day that they wanted to know if Matt Ryan was the East Coast version of Phillip Rivers. And before you start flipping out, Falcons fans, no, just think about it. That's a compliment. But when you compare the two, there's a lot of similarities. But I thought that was interesting that they actually come up with that. I did want to mention, of course, the sad note that we heard over the weekend. Hall of Famer Frank Gifford passed away at age 84. You know, he's in the Monday Night Football booth. He was a Hall of Famer. What a lot of people don't know is that he was a quarterback until one of the most famous hits. I mean, it's clearly a concussion. I believe it knocked him out. One of the most famous hits in football years ago. He stayed gone from the game for an entire year. And then when he came back, I believe he was a wide receiver. And still was able to, make great plays and contribute to the game. And then, of course, like I said, the Monday Night Football booth married Kathy Lee from Regis and Kathy Lee. Now she's on one of the morning shows. But Frank Gifford was definitely somebody who always brought something to the game and always, made sure it meant something. He actually had some Giants records, I believe. 78 touchdowns. I don't know if those are receiving or throwing because I feel like Eli Manning probably has more than that. He was the NFL MVP in 1956, and he went to 8 Pro Bowls. That's a lot. 8 is a lot. Some of the better players now have been to 8 Pro Bowls. But, definitely thoughts and prayers out to his friends and family. Frank Gifford will definitely be missed. And, he was a super guy, like I said. Add a lot to the game. And as we plug right along here, the 49ers, I told you I'd get to this, the 49ers have released linebacker Aldon Smith because of another alcohol-related arrest. Now, we'll have to see how all the details shake out of this, but just a couple days ago, he was arrested in California for DUI, hit and run, and vandalism. I tried to think of a scenario where you could do all three of those, I can't. You know, I can't come up with how you could do all three of those. But either way, when he was released from jail, he told a local reporter that there was no DUI, and the truth would come out. Well, I haven't heard anything from him since then. There is nobody else really, and the 49ers decided to go on and just cut ties while they can. This is the third or fourth, fifth different time. Obviously, the league will have something to say about it. But the bigger story to me is it seems like Alden Smith has a problem. You know, just like I forgot his name now. Justin Blackmon in Jacksonville. It's not just about moving on from the player because he's not being productive or anything like that. I think Alden Smith has a substance problem, and I think it's alcohol. I hope that, you know, if he has to take some time away from the game, address your issues. If that means classes, if that just means doing it yourself, Alden, I implore you to try to take care of yourself before you really worry about playing football. And if it's a simple mishap and this had nothing to do with any of that, then by all means, pursue a job somewhere else. But last time I checked, none of the other 31 teams have said much whatsoever about bringing Alden Smith in. So, you know, like I said, I just, if nothing else, just hopefully he can figure out his problems and move on from them so that these incidents don't keep happening. But now we will move on again. The Redskins have signed linebacker Junior Gallette, who was released by the Saints because of a couple pending domestic violence videos that show him in one hit striking a woman in the face with a belt. Now, these haven't been made public yet, but a lot of people seem to know about them. We've all been talking about them. The Redskins did sign not Junior Gallette, though, I guess to add to some of their problems that they're going to have. He's a good pass rusher. He's got a lot of talent. Hope it works out for him there. But the NFL is going to come down on him for those videos at some point, and we'll just have to see what happens from there. But, yeah, if you're the Cowboys, the Eagles, or the Giants, you now got to look over your shoulder for Gallette. He'll be coming at you. How many games he does that? Don't know. I do want to give you guys a heads up as well, in case you're not watching the NFL Network. Patriots are messing with us again. Tom Brady started this game. Told you I saw him in warm-ups, and very rarely, if he's in warm-ups, does he not play. So Tom's starting this. I guess we'll see Garoppolo here in maybe by the end of the quarter. But breaking news on that. And as we zip right along. Of course, we know the Seahawks gave contract extensions to Russell Wilson, which made him the second highest quarterback in the league, second highest paid, behind one Aaron Rodgers. I believe he makes $100,000 less a year than Aaron Rodgers. It's just where it's at in the market. Aaron Rodgers got paid 2 or 3 years ago. Obviously, they gave a contract extension to linebacker Bobby Wagner as well. And in the process of tying up all that money long term, had to release one of their starting defensive tackles, Tony McDaniel, who should be picked up shortly if he's not already on a different roster now. As a perennial Pro Bowler, but he was just odd man out. Welcome to life in Seattle. Like I said, I feel like the way that Seattle's having to pay some of these guys that they all have for a bargain just because of draft status and stuff like that. As they have to start paying them, you're going to lose pieces here and there. And, you know, Tony McDaniel happened to be one. Next item up on the block here. Do want to tell you the NFL draft. You know, we knew it was going to be April 28th through the 30th. They have decided it's going to stay in Chicago. So 2016, if you're in the Chicago area around April 28th through the 30th, could see Impact Media there. We'll have to work out the logistics and all that. But it's going to be in Chicago. It should be a lot of fun. I did get a chance to see where they did the draft and look around the surrounding area. It's a really fun little area. It's definitely worth trying to check it out if you get a chance. And then the last thing I want to get into here with Endzone is this Geno Smith thing. And there's parts of me that I'm not going to say feel bad. There's parts of me that see Geno's side. There's parts where I see IK and the Polys. I mean, basically, to me, what it seems like happened. Is that IK and the Poly was having a football camp. And Geno Smith said that he would come to the camp. Okay. To which, for some reason or another, Geno Smith did not make it to this camp. Didn't say anything to IK about it. And apparently, Inipoli had it's like $600 or $800 for the plane ticket and the limo service to get Geno and bring him there. But apparently, this spilled over from the field, the altercation between the two, the confrontation. And when it got to the locker room, where most things never happen, like this, apparently IK and Apolly sucker punched Geno Smith, breaking his jaw in two places. Geno's going to be out 6 to 10 weeks, and depending on which Jets fan you ask, or which fan of the NFL, even though you don't really want somebody hurt like this, could be the better thing for the Jets, because now Geno Smith can't be in the game, Ryan Fitzpatrick takes over. I mean, look, could they have handled it differently? Sure, they both said that. They could have handled this differently. Inipoli did get released, and then as of yesterday, he was picked up by his former head coach, Rex Ryan, and is now a Buffalo Bill. At some point, the NFL is going to step in here. They're going to give some sort of suspension, something like that, for that whole altercation. It is what it is as far as that. Geno's, as soon as he's healthy, will be back on the team. We'll have to see at that point. You know, 6 to 10 weeks, it may really depend on where they're at to that point. But it is the Jets, and currently, yeah, they have a pretty good defense, and they have a good coach, but I don't think they have the offensive weapons to compete with the other people in their division for sure. If you can't get out of that division, you're not going to get real far in the playoffs. I got them as perennially getting a pretty good draft pick next year as well. Wish the best for Geno on healing up and everything. Cooler heads need to prevail better next time, guys. It's just unprofessional. This is the NFL is a professional football league. So you got to act like a professional. And sucker punching your teammate is not one way to do that. I don't care what he did. There's other ways to handle things. But that's what happened, and that's the way it played out. So we'll have to, you know, see what happened. We'll have to see what happens later on as far as suspensions and when the two teams actually play each other, which I believe they will play in week 10 and 17, I believe, is when those two teams will play. So it will be, you know, those players, there's a good chance they will see each other again. We'll just have to wait and see on that one. It'll make us actually want to tune into that game, maybe. Maybe it doesn't make you want to tune in. But one thing I hope you do want to do is stick with us, because on the other side of the break, of course, it is a Falcon Zone. I'll run through some of the Falcons things. I'll do my best to prepare you for the game tomorrow night, which, like I said, I will be at. I'm usually not hard to find. I'm usually wearing something Impact Media or End Zone related, and I have a faux off, so it's not very. I'm not very hard to miss. Like I said, on the other side of the break, I'll get into some Falcon stuff. But for now, Jeremy the Impact York, we'll see you on the other side of the break for Falcon Zone.
From End Zone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with End Zone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at freeendzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business. Hi, Jeremy the Impact York here from Mellow Mushroom. Are you looking for a great family-friendly restaurant with food that is great and healthy? Drop by the Mellow Mushroom. They use the freshest ingredients to make everything on their amazing menu. Pizzas, calzones, salads, and more, plus daily drink specials. Go to mellowmushroom.com to find the location nearest you. Hey, Zoners, it's Jeremy the Impact York. Are you looking for a dinner full of flavor with a little kick? The Tequila Mexican Restaurant is your destination for authentic Mexican food and drinks. Make sure to come by on the weekends for live music on the patio and bring all your friends for a good time. With locations in Dallas and Hiram, they are ready to dish out their great food and more.
And welcome into the Falcon Zone. I'm Jeremy the Impact York, your host for the night. Thanks for sticking with us. Of course, we are right here on Blog Talk Radio and sponsored by Impact Media, where we don't just make impressions, we make an impact. Of course, there's only a few things that I really want to get into Falcons-wise. Just want to keep you guys updated on all the stuff going on. Make sure that, you know, whether you're hearing it from us or anybody else, appreciate that you're hearing it from us. But I just want to keep you up on the up and up of that. First thing out of the gate, of course, the game tomorrow night, which we'll get into here soon, is the first preseason game against the Titans. I believe it's a 7 o'clock start. But first thing I do want to talk about is the running back situation. And by running back situation, I want to tell you that both Devontae Freeman, who is supposedly the starter, and Tevin Coleman, the second or third round draft pick this year, both have hamstring injuries. What does that mean? It means at least for tomorrow night and a lot of the practices, they're taking it easy with these two, and the returning Anton Smith has been running. Has been running most of them. I wouldn't be that alarmed about it. It's this time of year, everybody starts tweaking things. I think it's there. I think it's, you know, they're just going to take it easy with it, do their best. Make sure everybody's healthy to start that season off, especially the Monday night opener there. Did want to tell you guys also, one of the changes this year, something that's a little different, is defensive coordinator Richard Smith will be calling the defensive plays this year, not Dan Quinn. A lot of times head coaches like to have that hands-on, hands-on policy where they're the ones calling plays. I know Rex Ryan likes to do it a lot. A lot of the Todd Bowles may be doing it now. A lot of defensive-minded or offensive-minded, you like to call what you know the best. But Quinn's just going to coach, which I have no problem with. I'd rather it be that way. They did release the official depth chart the other day. And there was just a few news and notes. I'm trying to think of the name. It was, Kelsey Conway from AtlantaFalcons.com. I've actually become a pretty good fan of Kelsey's work. She does a good job for AtlantaFalcons.com. She has some really good articles, and I like the way she breaks things down. So get a chance, shout out to her as well. But as I said, she had a breakdown of the depth chart, and she talks about a few fun things. And for some reason, just completely got to get it fired back up here. It'd have been nice, though. It's been a lot cooler here in Hotlanta. It's a lot easier. You know, a lot easier on a lot of fans that went to the camps and stuff like that. And even though it rained, and rained a lot today, it's been nice finally that Hotlanta's not been so hot. Oh, here we go, got it back up, which we apologize for. Another technical glitch that we are working out, but we're changing over a lot of our systems. Sometimes these things happen. She brings up that Ricardo Allen, who was a fifth round draft pick, he was waived after training camp and then re-signed to the practice squad most of last year. Well, he stopped being a corner and started trying to play a little free safety. Now it looks like he's going to start at free safety along with William Moore as the strong safety. So, you know, kudos to Ricardo Allen for understanding his strengths and taking on a different position. Currently, because of competition, it looks like the starting defensive end is Tyson Jackson and rookie Vic Beasley. They did add Adrian Claiborne. He's behind Jackson on the depth chart. And seem to be in a big competition right now for who's going to take that spot. Chris Chester is the starting right guard, not John Osamoah, who was signed to a big free agent contract last year. Once again, different head coach. So these competition days, just because you signed a contract with the last guy doesn't necessarily give you an automatic job here. So John Osamoah is having to play super hard and battle Chris Chester, who could easily take that spot. And I like that there's a competition at that spot instead of, because of injuries the last couple years, it's pretty much you look at the bench and see who can play. Rashid Hageman currently has a defensive tackle spot over longtime veteran Jonathan Babineau. I'm glad Rashid Hageman doesn't seem to be a project anymore. He seems to be coming into his own. And super guy. I remember meeting him last year. I wish him all the best. Met Jonathan Babineau too. But Rashid Hageman could be an X factor in Dan Quinn's system. In Dan Quinn's system, they want you to play fast and physical. And that's Rashid Hageman. That's exactly how he likes to play. It looks like, as far as wide receivers, that Justin Hardy is the number three on the depth chart, obviously behind Julio and Roddy, with Leonard Hankerson and Devin Hester being the backups for them. So I guess Justin Hardy is the slot. Hardy's going to really surprise some people. He's very athletic. He's super quick, makes some good cuts. Hopefully we get to see him tomorrow. And, of course, it talks about the injured Brooks Reed, who is my favorite new Falcon. He has the injured hip and groin. He's listed as one of the three starting linebackers ahead of O'Brien Schofield, who actually played under Dan Quinn in Seattle last year. But I want Brooks Reed back just as soon as possible. That guy is fun to watch. The way I found him was on a Madden video game, but when you actually watch him play, wow, that guy is explosive. He's a lot of fun coming off the edge. He can really dig in. He can take on other people. He's fun. So, Brooks, we want you back just as soon as possible. We want you to be healthy. And then the other thing they mentioned, of course, is the Freeman and Coleman injuries, of course. They're 1-2 on the depth chart with Anton Smith, number 3. And number 4 is Terran Ward. Pretty much tomorrow night it'll be the Anton Smith and Terran Ward show, which is exactly how I'd play it, too. I want to make sure that everybody's just as healthy as they can so we can get through to the start of the season. With all the fights going on and stuff like that, Dan Quinn's fighting policy, somebody asked me the other day, what does Dan Quinn do? Well, he doesn't put up with it. There's been people known to get kicked out of practices. Not for the Falcons, because they have had no skirmishes this year that I know of. But Dan Quinn's not a guy who puts up with stuff like that. He may have really fun, upbeat practices and everything, but at the same time, you got to be professional to be on a professional football team. So he holds you that standard. And then before we get out of here, like I said, I want to tell you guys that the Tennessee Titans will be in town tomorrow night to play the Atlanta Falcons. Like I said, that's Friday at 7 at the Georgia Dome. If you see me down there, hey, send me a line or stop and take a picture and tag us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Love to meet you guys. But, hopefully I can get down there. It's kind of an odd start time. Hopefully I can get down there soon enough where I can drop by and see our friends, the Game Changers and the ATL Falcoholics. If not, I will see all you guys inside. But that's going to do it for us this week. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Of course, we're still going to do the alternating thing here for the next week or so. We will start going back weekly very, very soon. Hope to have Coach and Reggie on. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio and Impact Media. This has been the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show. We'll see you guys next week.
It's funny because it's true.